stop?
You might.
Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Here we are again. It's Friday night. This is the time. It's the Hour of Truth, brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're in the Million Dollar Message Countdown. Mike Moon will be joining us tonight. We'll be talking quite a bit about what went good, what went bad in the last 5 months. We'll be talking a little bit about the campaign. We're going to have Mike. We're going to talk a whole lot about the campaign. We're going to touch on how it's going. We're going to have Mike back here in a couple of weeks for an extended interview. And there we'll talk about the campaign. We'll reignite you folks. We'll remind you of what Mike stands for, of who Mike is, and why you folks in Lawrence County need to get out to the polls and support this guy. I will guarantee you. I was heavily and intimately involved in a race like this one. Up in St. Jen, Missouri, last legislative session, and I can tell you there are shenanigans going on having to do with the way Missouri votes in the primaries. You folks need to get out. You need to move. Now, I'm telling you right now, you Republicans that run around talking about the establishment, talking about the old guard, talking about needing to change the party, this is your call to action. You cannot sit home on this one. But right now, and then after we finish with Mike, we're going to talk, get back to our regular subject of state sovereignty. I had quite a long discussion this week with someone about the state constitution. Someone was whining and bemoaning the fact that that we're going to vote on a on an increase in sales tax to fund MoDOT, complaining about the idea that how could a Republican legislature send a vote for the largest tax hike in Missouri history to the voters. And he just didn't understand how that could work. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. You know, the fact of the matter is there's nothing wrong with the government asking for money. It's entirely constitutional. It's entirely a legitimate ask for the government to come and say, we need to fix roads and bridges. We need some more money. And it's entirely appropriate and constitutional, especially in the state of Missouri, constitutionally required that they come directly to you with that ask. We'll be talking about that and how that fits into the state constitution and the state sovereignty picture. Now, that being said, it is also legitimate for you folks to say, no, you show me that you know how to use the $26 million I already give you, and then we'll talk about giving you more. Or not giving you more. Interesting headline in today's news leader. I don't know where it laid in your paper. Nixon out there again complaining that some special tax cuts snuck into last-minute bills were going to cost the state millions and millions and local communities millions and millions. Well, without going into the evils of targeted tax breaks, which we will later, without discussing right now the underhanded way that this was done, the sneaking into last-minute bills, something that's become things that you should just expect with our legislature. And we're going to caveat that for 1 minute. Next legislative session, we're going to have a team of people in the last 2 weeks watching every bill minute by minute, because that's where you folks are getting screwed, is in the last 2 weeks of the legislative session. And we'll be talking to a guy that set in on that here in just a minute. But back to what I was talking about, the main point that I have is, yeah, so the government's going to be getting less money, and that's bad because, you know, folks, when you've got someone that's overeating, the first thing to do is cut back on the food. When you've got someone that's obese, when you've got someone that's monstrously large, the first thing to do is cut back on the food. You can cry and whine and moan about government spending all you want to, but until you cut back on the money, no one up there is going to set any priorities. We're going to talk about that later. But right now, without further ado, we're going to get to our special guest tonight, my friend, and yours, whether you know it or not, State Representative Mike Moon. How you doing, Mike?
I'm tired.
I know you are.
Yes,
it's a tough road, and the hard part just started, hadn't it?
Yes. I spent the last couple of days setting signs, and it seemed like every sign needed special care. And so it's been a long last 2 days, and we've still got quite a few signs to put up, so it's going to be a long couple of weeks ahead.
Well, good. I'm glad you got enough signs. Glad you got things going. How does it feel out there on the trail?
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to. I think I've got supporters out there. I know I do. I meet with several different groups during the week, and I know that they're out there. It's just pinpointing who they are and targeting them to get them out there on August 5th to vote. As you said in your interlude there, this is going to be the key, getting people out the doors and in the polling places on August 5th, because we have an open primary.
Exactly.
And Democrats can cross over.
Exactly.
And our district here is about 60-40 Republican majority.
Right.
But if the Democrats see fit to have someone else run against their candidate, that might be more beatable than plausible, and it could happen. I'd like to see us move to a closed primary.
Yes.
I don't know how difficult that would be. However, I think it's something that needs to be considered. And if even Democrats, I think, should consider that it would protect their candidates so that they can run against in a primary against a Democrat. Republicans can run against Republicans and independents against independents, and then the one that they want to represent them can run off in the general election.
Yes.
So I'm hopeful that we can have some conversation about that in the near future and get that going.
Good. Yeah, me too. And I'm going to tell you, folks, and I've talked about this before, talked about it endlessly at the last election 2 years ago in St. Jen. And I'll name names here. Romine and Engler running against. I was intimately involved in Terry Varner's campaign out there. And I'm telling you, these two undocumented Democrats were out in the union halls making promises, and the crossover vote was what that election was all about. So. Golly gee, it is absolutely essential, Republicans. I'm telling you, you cannot sit this one out. This is a, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I know Mike will never say it, might not even believe it, but this is that kind of race going on here. This is this is you and me represented by a constitutional conservative against the party elite. That's what's going on here in Lawrence County. That's why the million-dollar message is important. That's why I am appealing to you all over the state. Come to this one. This is your fight. Okay, Mike, so tell the listeners what you got coming up, where they can come out and meet you and hear you, and I'll be seeing you next Thursday.
Yeah, that's a great segue. Well, next Thursday night at the MARC, that stands for the Mount Vernon Arts and Recreation Community Center. It's at 822 West Mount Vernon. If you head west on 44 to exit 46 and turn right, that'd be going back to the north, you'll be on Mount Vernon. And continue on that road until you're just about, was really the last stop out of town. On the left, you'll see a building that looks like a former church, and that's what it was. There's a new Walmart going up just before it on your left as well, and there's a big sign out front that has MARC, M-A-R-C, and also Crowder College uses those facilities. So starting at 5:30 and running through 7:30 p.m., we'll have a meet and greet, and we'll feed you while you're there. There's no charge to come out, and we'd love to have you be there.
There is a bulletin. I believe it's on your website, isn't it? The little flyer.
Well, I don't think it's on the website, but we posted one on my Facebook.
Okay, so on Mike's Facebook page, which is Mike Moon for Missouri, on Facebook, there's a flyer. Go to that flyer, and please, I mean, if you can, I'm sure. No one's going to be turned away at the door, but please try to RSVP to that phone number there. They are going to give you a little bit of food and a little bit of a refreshment. So they'd like to know how much to have, and so just do go ahead and RSVP to that thing. If you can't, if you don't, if you forget, don't not come. It's important. These shows of force, especially in the central populated areas of the district like Mount Vernon, are very, very, very important. And it's very important that you actually get out, meet Mike, shake his hand, find out for yourself that he's the real thing, and then get out and do something to save this district. What else you got going after that?
Well, the next one that will be a bigger one is that on the 19th of June, it'll be in Aurora at the Aurora Community Center. And I believe the address is 28 West Church. And it's just past Jimmy Mitchell Motors. And if you continue on Church Street, it's on your left as well, and there'll be a sign on the kiosk out front.
Okay. This is an important one. You folks, please become groupies here. Follow Mike to this one. It really is about a show of force. This Aurora is Rizika territory. So please get down there. And Mike, tell us before we move on to the next thing after June 19th. 19th, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell us what else we can do physically to help you out.
Well, if you have the ability to distribute yard signs, that would be helpful to me. And also, we have some events that we haven't got them hard scheduled yet, but will soon, to distribute some directories out to the folks in Mount Vernon and Aurora. Those two major cities will go door-to-door. It shouldn't take but just a little while, depending upon how many people we can get together. But if you could spend a couple hours, that'd be great. If you can only spend whatever time you can afford, just let me know, and I'll give you some contact numbers at the end of my time here so that you can give me a holler. And we'd love to have you join us. And it's not something you have to talk to people. Just you can knock on the door or leave it in a place at the doorway and just continue on. So the quicker they're distributed, that'd be okay too. As we get closer to election day, we'll be doing a similar thing with some push cards. And at that time, if you feel comfortable talking to folks, that would be a good time to knock on the door and wait for them to come to the door to see you. And then just tell them who you are and why you're there. Encourage them to vote, and most especially encourage them to vote for Mike Moon.
Yes, absolutely. Vote for Mike Moon is the message, folks. I'm telling you, you don't have to look very deeply into this last legislative session to see how important, how incredibly important it is to have guys like Mike Moon up there. And there are a small handful. I'm not saying Mike Moon is the only guy up there. There are a small handful of folks like Mike in the legislature. I'm saddened by the fact that most of the others, most of the ones who aren't quite on our side, have not been challenged in the primaries. Instead, it's the guys like Mike that get challenged in the primaries. Go figure. So it's imperative to hold the ground we already have while we struggle and sweat to gain just a small foothold, just another inch or two into enemy territory. I'm with you, Mike, on the close primary thing. I think that's imperative. And my listeners get it. That means I don't get to vote. I will not register as a Republican. I will not register as a Democrat, and I will gladly give up my vote in the primary. I will be out working for the most constitutional candidate. I will be out campaigning for the Mike Moons of Missouri. I will be giving them as much voice as I can. I will be doing whatever I can to help. I'll be out meeting some of you folks, handing out flyers as soon as Mike sets the dates for that. I'll be meeting you folks in Mount Vernon and in Aurora. I'm going to do everything I can, but I am not going to vote in a Republican or Democratic primary. Now, that said, I would give up that vote to get some, and in the wake of today's purity comments, I hesitate to use the word purity, but to get some purity back into the primary process here, I don't like the way Missouri does it. I think that it's harmful to us, to the liberty-minded folks. Okay, Mike, say any more words you want to about the campaign, and then let's move on to the session you just came home from.
Okay, one more a bit about the
sure.
meet and greet that we have coming up. I should have pointed out that we'll have signs out, so look for the signs, and if you get a little disoriented there, if you continue down either Church Street in Aurora on the 19th or this coming Thursday night in Mount Vernon on Mount Vernon Boulevard, just continue on out of town, and when you see the Mike Moon signs on the left, you'll be at the right spot. And with regard to the campaign, we have a pretty good group of people who are going to help us. We can always use more. And
yes.
we probably lack some help during the daytime and during the week. So if you're available from, say, 8 to 5 or sometime in between that, we're not going to work you all day. But if you're willing to spend some time with us, an hour or two, that's great. We'll be glad to put you to work.
Okay, and where do people call or drop by to get involved in that?
If you'll contact me at 417-818-5419, that's 417-818-5419, or send an email to Mike Moon for Missouri. That's all spelled out. MikeMoon4Missouri@gmail.com. We'll respond to you, and we'll find out what you might enjoy. And if we've got a place for you, we'll certainly try to make something happen there. And I'm sure we can find something that you can do.
Okay, great. We're going to get on into talking about the recently closed legislative session, the almost certain upcoming veto session. I want to let you folks know, if you want to get involved in this, it's 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Mike, you and I didn't get a chance to talk before tonight's show started. I don't know how long you can stay with us, but let me know when you've got to run. I know you're tired. I know time is not a luxury when you're involved in something like what you're involved in. And so we appreciate every minute you spend with us, and we look forward to the next time you can come visit. So are there any high points? In the recent session?
Well, for me, it didn't really end on a high point necessarily. I heard that chuckle. I was a little disappointed in that the first end of session that I was able to sit in on in 2013 just really confused me in the way that the last 2 weeks were like a whirlwind, and trying to push through as many bills as possibly could be pushed through. And, of course, I didn't get to hear any of these bills in committee because all the committee work, and in fact, I only had one committee. We had one meeting, and they didn't do anything. It was just the kind of last hurrah in the Elementary and Secondary Education Committee the first time around. But I did notice that a lot of these omnibus bills, and for those who do not know what an omnibus bill is, it's a bill that they probably a pretty strong bill in and of itself, but they tag on all these other bills that can't stand alone and can't pass by themselves, so in an effort to get them passed. And some of the standalone bills really are okay, but there are a lot that aren't okay. And my confusion began in the first session at the end of it, where I remember particularly, and I don't remember the number of the bill particularly, but there was this one bill that was fairly long in and of itself, but an amendment was 99 pages.
Yeah.
And the first time I'd seen the amendment was the day that they were voting. And so I was pretty naive. I pulled up the amendment and started to read it. And the vote lasted maybe 20 seconds, maybe 30, I don't know. But I realized that, of course, I can't read that, a 99-page book in 30 seconds, nor could I understand it. And so I began then taking the mentality that, well, you know, if I don't know what's in it, how can I vote for it?
Right.
And so I believe that that's what should be done with a lot of those bills. And I want to say before I forget it that I think each bill should be able to stand on its own merit.
Yes.
And we would have a lot less problems, a lot less bad laws being passed, and a lot less harm done to the citizens of Missouri if that would be followed. And I'd like our listeners, if you're out there and you're not involved and you've heard about some of these bills that are being passed but not really sure how it works, what Dave said at the beginning was the last 2 weeks you really need to start paying attention. And we need to educate and put a lot of pressure on the representatives and let them know that we're not going to tolerate this mess. Because when they push through these bills the last week or the last 2 weeks just to try to get something passed, that makes no sense at all.
Nope.
Especially when bad things are in it. And so
yes.
If all these bills are good, then why couldn't they pass on their own merit? Some will say that we don't have time to pass all those bills. Well, I say that, you know, we start in January, and, of course, there has to be committee meetings and hearings on the bills. That's only a wise thing to do. If the bill passes out of committee, as soon as it passes out, it ought to be heard on the floor.
Yes.
And then as soon as it's heard, it can be passed or voted down. And as soon as that happens, it ought to be sent over to the Senate and vice versa. The Senate ought to be doing the same thing. And if we run out of time, we run out of time. But we should not tolerate bills to be passed that are loaded down with so much junk that it's like the Obamacare bill. Now, of course, I don't think we had any that were quite that large, but we shouldn't have any more than, you know, half a dozen pages. You know, some of them are a little bit longer because they're like the judicial review.
Right.
You know, that was thousands of pages. But, you know, outside that, and perhaps the budget, there shouldn't be lengthy bills that you have to have, you know, a long time to read them and then to digest them and that sort of thing. And then fast forward to this particular session. I came in thinking that I'd have an easier time seeing the process from the beginning to the end, and I think it was easier to be able to, especially in the committee that I was in, to hear the bills. And so when they come to the floor, you know a little bit about what they're supposed to do. The real difficulty comes when bills are coming from other committees that you haven't sat in on the hearings, and the first, second, and third reading is not really a reading at all. The clerk simply reads the title of the bill, and it's considered first read, second read, or third read. And by the third read, though, you do get some debate on the floor. And then with the third read and pass, there's more debate. So you can get, if a bill goes that far, you can get, even on the floor, a pretty good idea of what the bill is intended to do. But then when you get to the last couple of weeks and some of these bills that didn't even get a hearing in committee are tagged on to these omnibus bills. They call them Christmas tree bills because everything's hanging off of it. And sometimes they're passed, and they have not been duly vetted. That's a problem, and I think that's something that we need to stop. Now, is a representative going to be able to stop that? Probably not. It's going to take folks like you, Dave, and all your listeners to get so fed up. And I don't like using that term for various reasons, but they've got to get so irritated with the process that we're using to voice their anger, really, to your representatives, and start electing people who believe that it's a problem and will work to change it.
Amen, brother. I'm telling you, I'm frustrated. Now, tell me, Mike, from the perspective of someone who's been there. Now, we know, and we've talked about several times on this particular show with this particular group of listeners, and I've never been able to answer the question. How does this happen? I mean, it is blatantly written in the Constitution of the state of Missouri that everything in the bill has to apply directly, has to be germane. It has to apply directly to the title of the bill. How is it that someone doesn't stand up and say, we can't even be talking about this?
Well, they do sometimes. Mostly it comes from the Democrats. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes they may not be absolutely right. There may be a fine line on how you would define germaneness. And I admit there were some times where I believe that their point of order, that this amendment did not have anything to do with the title of the bill. Yet the speaker and the leadership have the ability and the authority to say, we don't recognize your point of order. And so we allow it to be attached. And what happens in that case is if the bill is truly agreed and finally passed, we send to the governor, and then his team will look it over and find that perhaps it is germane or it's not. And there was, I think, five different bills last year that did not pass muster. They were passed by the House and the Senate, sent to the governor, and this year, I was a little surprised I saw these bills coming back. They had to do with utility poles and attachments to those poles and things of that sort, where you can place the poles and how much you can charge for the attachments and things of that nature. And as I investigated, I found that this was part of a package that was passed in 2013, but did not meet the germane test, and so they were just all thrown out. And so here they were again. Now, this time, though, They were trying to stand on their own merit. And I think I voted against every single one of those this time because as I talked to the folks in my district, especially those in the city management and the municipalities, it took their authority away and gave it over to another entity. So there might have been one that I voted for, but most of them were no votes for me.
Okay. I'm just, we are going to, next legislative session, we're going to have a team of folks. I might get some of our friends over at some of the other groups involved in this, but I'm telling you, we need to be listening. We need to have people there. We need to be staying on top of this and to coin a term that Mike used, we need to be fed up. We need to be absolutely just done. We need to be done with this, folks. Listen, we've been railing about this now for 2 weeks, and we're going to continue railing about it until this primary is over. We're going to continue with this million-dollar message until this primary is over. You people need to say, we're in charge. This is our government, and we're taking it back. We're taking over here. I mean, until you're ready to do that, you can just sit there and write complaints on your Facebook page all you want to. You can just go down to the local barbershop and complain about what's going bad in the government all you want to until you are ready to say, this is it. You know, we're taking over. Then just be prepared to spend the rest of your life whining about it.
Dave, let me jump in there just for a minute. You hit the nail on the head, and that's so frustrating for me because I do read some of the Facebook posts, and I do hear people talking, not necessarily at the barbershop, but that's all that happens. They rant and rave, and there's nothing that's done. And I don't have all the answers here, but I do believe that representatives and senators and on the state level and the Congress and even down to the mayor and the aldermen need to be held accountable for what they're doing. We have a great system for representation in our nation. The founding fathers, I think they knew it wasn't perfect, but it's a pretty good setup where you can allow someone to take your authority by electing them as a representative to whatever entity it is, and allow them to be your voice. But if you don't pay attention to what they're doing, then you have actually just given away a lot, and
Absolutely.
You're not going to get it back.
Absolutely.
And the only way you can retain that and to hold them accountable for what you want them to do is to stay on top of it. Now, I know we all work. We all have children to take care of, perhaps, bills to pay, jobs to work. But Dave mentioned something about getting groups together, and there are groups who do pay attention. Tap into one of these groups. You don't have to spend 24 hours a day doing it. Just every so often, check in, see what's going on. If there is an alert and you need to take action, then by golly, you need to take action and cut off the TV, write a letter, make a phone call, send an email, and pay attention to what's happening because, folks, if we don't, how much longer can our system sustain itself unless we take it back, as they said? I don't think we can do it very much longer.
No, I don't believe we can. You know, there's a fellow that we talk to and about quite a bit here, someone we talk about almost as much as we talk about Mike and Paul, and that's Ron Calzone. Now, Ron, I want to tell you, Ron's one of these guys that spends 24 hours a day doing this stuff for you. Gretchen Logue is a person who, you know, and you can tap into any one of these groups, and these are people who dedicate their time to specific issues. And you can just watch what they're doing, listen to what they're saying, listen to what they're trying to tell you. But here's my message to you folks out here, and I'm just piggybacking on Mike at this point. I think, you know, when something like the Second Amendment Preservation Act comes up, or something like 476, where we were trying to hold the governor accountable for denying Missourians representation. At the seat of power comes up, and someone like Ron Calzone or Mike Moon sits in a witness chair up there and holds up 900 witness forms. We consider that a major victory. And I'm saying to you folks out there listening, what in the heck is, you know, why aren't they holding up a million witness forms? Why aren't the email servers in Jefferson City completely blowing circuits? It just amazes me. I mean, I know for a fact, Mike, that the number of people who I read complaining about what happened to the article of impeachment, that the number of people I heard and read complaining about what happened to the Second Amendment Preservation Act far, by a factor of 10, outnumber the people who actually wrote an email to their representative.
Wow.
I don't
have an answer to that, except there's just, you know, there's when someone is I've lost the word I wanted to say, complacent, I guess probably is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
They just don't care. And I know that some people do care, and maybe they just don't know how to get involved. But one thing that frustrates me, and it goes along with what you just said, is I've been talking to some over the last few weeks, and they don't know who their elected representative is.
Oh, yeah. That's
and so, you know, it's kind of comical in a way, but it's really sad, too.
Yeah.
And they're regular voters. That's the part hard to understand.
Yeah. that's the part that's scary. That's the part that's really scary in my mind. These people who don't know who their representative is in Jefferson City, and folks, we've been talking about this, and this is the important part about these meet and greets. This is the important part about getting out and getting involved in your community. This is the important part about understanding that the starting point for us saying we're taking over is the Missouri State House of Representatives. It is the smallest representative district. It is the representative district where you and your representative ought to be on a first-name basis, ought to be on a basis. I would recognize Eric Burleson, and he would recognize me if we met in Dillon's tomorrow. That's where to start. That's where to start. Is at the lowest representative level. I'm not saying that's the end of the fight. I'm saying that's the beginning of the fight. This is where we take over. We take over in the House of Representatives first. To quote a speaker of a larger house, that's only one half of one third of the government. If we can get to a point where we, the people, own the House of Representatives, that is insufficient to pass good law. More importantly, though, it is sufficient to stop bad law.
You bet it is. And there's another point in that, too, where when you control the House, they have so much power in their checks on the other branches.
Right.
And that's where it begins. You alluded briefly to the Articles of Impeachment. And had we taken the action that I believe we should have taken, the governor would be on the hot seat today.
Right.
And I guarantee you that with that money that they found that he spent $390,000 for dues to the National Governors Association.
Yeah.
That would be the last time that he did that, because I had, goodness, someone had the audacity to ask me near the end of the session, well, do you think you can hold over your impeachment articles to the veto session? I said, you kidding? said, no, once the session ends, they're dead. They'll have to refile if we were to do this again. He said, well, that'd probably be a more opportune time to bring it up. And then this money that he spent, when we found that out just the last couple of days of the session, said, well, you know what, that's impeachable.
Yeah, oh
really?
My. Yeah. You know,
here's the honest or the bottom line to me. People can talk about, yeah, the governor has done wrong, and yeah, he's broken the law, and we should do something about it. But when the measures are taken to do something about it, they run.
Right.
It's like the roaches when you turn on the light, find cover. But I don't want to be seen with you because it might affect my next election, or it might affect a future job. And I had folks tell me that too.
Yeah.
And honestly, I won't be working with those folks. And if I have an opportunity to see that they're not elected again, well, that's what I'd like to do.
Well, we're with you on that. We are mounting. Not only I don't know how much you've been keeping up with the $1 million message, Mike, but we are here trying our best to get people from all over the state to rally around you as part of a message. More than anything else. I mean, I know you need the money. I know you need the help. I know you need – you're not going to get a lot of physical support from someone in Cape Girardeau or St. Charles. But this is the opportunity for us to send a message. We are taken over. We are done with you. And as importantly, folks, the other half, I'm asking you to give $20. $10. I'm asking 100,000 people to give $10 to Mike Moon to say we stand up for what's right. And I'm asking the same 100,000 people to give $10 to fight Stanley Cox, to Jeff Middlehauser in Pettis County. It's a little bitty race. It's a little bitty race. It's a judge's seat, a circuit judge's seat in Pettis County up there in Sedalia. But Stanley Cox, He's the guy. And I'm not saying Stanley Cox is the baddest guy in the state of Missouri. I'm not saying Stanley, but what I'm saying is in this one instance where the governor of the state of Missouri denied a 250,000 people representation. It doesn't get any. The governor can spend $1 million on dues, as far as I'm concerned, and it won't hold a candle to the offense you should be taking at his denial to 250,000 people a full seat in the government.
Yeah, that's the basic foundation of our government. If we don't have representation, we've lost our voice wherever that may be. In this particular case, the State House, the Senate had one seat, now two, and the House of Representatives had three seats vacated all throughout the whole session of the General Assembly. That's crazy.
It's insane. I don't get it, Mike. I don't understand how that can be passed over. I understand there were two other articles of impeachment. I understand there was some political mumbo jumbo about one of them and some question about another one and all that. But this one, Mike, this is a black and white issue. I mean, we are talking about the foundational principles of the Constitutional Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me, Mike. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a rant in your time, but
I agree exactly or 100% with you. And I don't understand it either. And I had face-to-face conversations with Stanley Cox and with John Deal and with Tim Jones and all three. Well, John Deal didn't use the phrase political, but I think it was political. And that's the reason they didn't want this to be brought forward.
Absolutely.
And so we need to hold people accountable for what they've done. And, I mean, these guys aren't, as you said, they're not nasty, mean people. But what I believe is that when you elect someone to do a job, they should do the job. And if they don't do it, you need to fire them. And if I haven't done the work that I've been hired to do, then I need to be unelected. I think, though, that in this particular case, that I've done what I was asked to do constitutionally. Some people don't like it. Some people don't like it because it makes them look bad because they didn't sign on to it.
Yeah.
It makes some people look bad because, as I mentioned before, it could affect their future race. It could affect a future job. Well, I don't care about that. If I don't win this next election, you know, the Lord's going to take care of me somehow. I'll hopefully find work to feed my family. But if folks in Lawrence County especially believe that I'm a man of my word, and when I take the oath to defend and support the Constitution of Missouri and the United States, if I know what the Constitution says, then I'm held accountable to uphold it. And that's all I was trying to do.
Absolutely.
So for those who are able to vote this August 5th, if you think I've done well, vote for me. If you'd rather have someone that is not as radical as me, because, yes, it was a radical thing. We don't impeach every day a governor of a state. But I didn't do this flippantly. I reasoned it. I thought about it. And I believe that it was the right thing to do. And that's why I did it. And I haven't had anybody come to me personally except for someone who is supporting my opposition to say that it wasn't the right thing to do. I haven't had anybody else in the district say that. And I challenge those who think it might not have been the right thing to do to show me where in the Constitution that I was wrong and to show me where, if I hadn't done it, that I would have violated I would not have violated my own oath. I think I would have. And so,
absolutely.
I don't regret doing it. I didn't make friends doing it. I didn't intend to do that. But again, I think it was the right thing to do. And if I have the opportunity to serve again and I find violations of our Constitution, I hope that I'll take the same action.
Yes, I'm sure you will. I'm sure enough that you will that I wish I could vote for you. I'm sure enough that you will that I encourage those people in Lawrence County. How's things going in Miller, Mike?
With regard to the water issue?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We had a couple of visits from the DNR. And so they're living up to what they said they would do. They're using Miller as a test case. And hopefully what we want them to do is work toward a what's called a multi-discharge variance. And that would not only include Miller, but another 300 cities in the state of Missouri to allow them to opt out of the EPA regulations. Now this is what grieves me. We passed a bill this year that will allow Missouri to opt out of the EPA's air quality standards, because you may have remembered, and I think we talked about it briefly, about a wood-burning ban.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yes, and the EPA wants to only permit wood stoves that do not emit smoke out of the flue to be used. Well, you know, I'd say perhaps in a place like Boston, Massachusetts, or in some of these heavily populated areas, that may be something they have a concern about. Well, if that's the case, in that local community, let them make the decision that they want to limit the smoke that's emitted so they don't have a hazard. In places like Missouri, though, especially in the rural areas where folks like me and perhaps you and some of the listeners use to heat our homes, what are we going to do? What's our alternative except to use higher-cost fuels? And so the DNR said outright that they were not going to enforce this particular ban on the wood that the EPA is forcing. And so they are going to enforce the water quality standards, however. And so why not allow the General Assembly, with the input from citizens, and that's where you guys need to be involved, to let the legislature know what you want them to do. Let them make the decisions on what we enforce and what we don't. And so back to the Miller situation, we want them just to frankly leave us alone, because what's worked today has been working for nearly 50 years. No health concerns, no environmental damage. And I found it pretty ironic, but one of the main reasons that the EPA wrote the water quality standard pertaining to ammonia specifically was to protect the freshwater mussel, an invasive species, no less. And so they're wanting to protect this muscle so that it doesn't have ammonia limits, too high ammonia limits that would kill it, which needs to be killed anyway. But in the Miller situation, where the effluent discharges into the mouth of the freshwater stream, there's live fish. So they're not harmed, and nor is the muscle harmed, even with this higher standard. I'm hopeful that they will follow through with their word, and they will work toward this discharge, multi-discharge variance. And so we'll have the whole state of Missouri protected, these municipalities that don't have the money to upgrade. Here's the other rub. I think you ought to know about this. The standard for ammonia now is set at the upper limit is 1.8 parts per million of ammonia and water that's discharged from a treatment facility into a live water stream. The EPA has already written rules that will reduce this standard from 1.8 parts per million to 0.6 parts per million. So these municipalities, if they decide that, yeah, we'll go ahead and take the loan from the federal government, pay back with interest this money that's been loaned to them by the DNR, once they get this plant completed and these new standards are implemented, they're already out of compliance. And guess what? They're going to have to upgrade their facility again.
That's crazy.
What amount of money? I have no clue. But in the case of Miller, this $1.5 million that is going to be charged for the upgrade of the facility will bankrupt them.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't afford it.
Oh,
nor
man.
Is it necessary. And so that's why, folks, we need to be, even if you don't live in Miller, you need to be contacting the DNR as well and telling them, you know, you guys need to back off. And there is budget money that's given through the federal government. This year was $204 million. And they used that $204 million to loan out to cities like Miller and others who need to upgrade their wastewater facilities. And then, of course, they have to pay it back with interest. And I believe I mentioned on one of the earlier programs that because I found this $204 million, I added an amendment, and I filed it and even introduced it to strip out the $204 million from their budget in the DNR. And they met me at the chamber door on the day of the budget vote, and they said, "We hear you have a problem. We'd like to help."
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Taking action like that does get their attention. Unfortunately, we didn't get enough votes to pass the amendment and add it to it, but did get their attention. Now they're working to help Miller, and I hope it continues. So thank you for asking that question.
How about one more thing, and then you're free to stay or go as you choose. I hear there's going to be another meeting in Mount Vernon.
Oh, the Mount Vernon Assembly?
Yes, sir.
You betcha. This one's going to be held at the State House in Indiana.
Okay.
Indianapolis, Indiana is their state capital. And it'd be June 12 and 13, and I am scheduled to go. I've been appointed by the Speaker of the House of Missouri, and so I'll be headed down that way sometime to be there on June 12th and 13th. And this is a rules-setting meeting, hoping to establish guidelines for how the committee, or not the committee, but the convention will be run, what the limitations will be, and that sort of thing. So I'm awaiting my committee assignments at this time, and as soon as I get those, I'll be able to do a little more work ahead of time to put some things together so we'll be hitting the ground running. But it'll be a long 2 days, but I think it'll be beneficial. We have three senators, Senator Wayne Wallingford, Senator Ed Emery, Senator Jason Holzman, and then from the representative side, myself and Representative Paul Kirkman from the Pacific area will be headed that way. And so I'm hopeful that we'll have some good dialogue, some good input, and come away with some reassurance that this type of convention can be limited. It can be held to a central idea, and it won't be a runaway as some people think. And I believe that it's something that the Founding Fathers put in Article 5 that is useful, and we'll be able to use it to to restore state sovereignty, as you talked about earlier in the show, and restrain the federal government, limit their ability to spend and tax, and restore the 10th Amendment. And so I think those are things that we need to do, and I hope we'll get more support. As you know, as listeners, we didn't get that passed even through the House this year. Had some hiccups along the way. I think I know why the hiccups were there, and we know a little bit better how to maybe push it through a little bit more smoothly next time, and hopefully we'll get it through the House and the Senate, and we'll be on board.
Okay. We'll be touching base with you again at least one more time before June 12th and 13th and see how that thing is progressing. I brought that up, folks, to segue into what's going to be my closing remarks of Mike's time with us here tonight, and then he can have whatever time he wants. Your representative, if he or she is good, if he or she is what you need them to be, is not only your representative between January and May. It really is that simple. I mean, I know these guys and gals have other jobs. I know they have still have to feed their families. I know being a state representative doesn't give you a lifestyle. But a person who has their heart and soul in representing you, Miller, Missouri, is out there whether the legislation is in session or not when the DNR comes to meet. They're out there every time the DNR comes down to look at your water plant. They're in Indianapolis representing you whether or not the legislature is in session. Now, there are some of you out there who have representatives who don't quite meet this bill. You have representatives who really are using their representative job to campaign for a full-time job at the Department of Corrections, who are using their seat to ingratiate themselves with those who can further their political career. For them, this is a job about politics. It's not a job about the people. The guy that Mike replaced left that seat to go and take a full-time job as a real politician. I want you folks in Lawrence County to remember that name, too. Because when he did that, you really, really, really got a lucky roll of the dice, in my mind. I want to leave it at that, Lawrence County. I want to leave it at that. All of you folks in Mike's district, you have a full-time representative. You have a full-time voice in Jefferson City. And I hope you folks appreciate that. And I hope you folks get out and show some support here, both before the election and on primary election day. Mike, however much time you want of the next hour and 1 minute you have.
Well, I don't think I can talk that long, but I sure appreciate you, Dave, for allowing me to be on these last I don't know how many weeks to visit with you and give a little bit of information. And really, I want to say again that I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't have all the answers to the questions. In fact, I don't even know all the questions. And that's why that I really do need folks like you and others, those from Lawrence County especially, who I represent, to contact me and let me know what your desires are. I know some of the information, but I certainly don't have all of it. And so if you'll give me a call, I'd be glad to do what I can to help you. And I know that I have to separate a little bit from campaigning to actually legislative work, but there's really kind of a fine line there, and some of it does cross. But if you have something that I can do to help you, I may not have the answer, but I can certainly look for it and ask questions of others. And so if you have questions about legislative action, some bills that have passed, and where they are, whether they've been sent to the governor, or perhaps something that pertains to next session, and I'd love to do what I can to help you, but I can't help you unless you contact me. And so, again, my number is 417-818-7054. That's 417-818-7054. Or feel free to contact me at Mike Moon for Missouri, MikeMoonForMissouri@gmail.com, and all that's spelled out. Or if you have some official work that I need to help you with, it's mike.moon@house.mo.gov. That's mike.moon@house.mo.gov. And I'll do what I can to help you. And so if I don't answer the first time, leave a message, and I'll call you back as soon as I get to you. Dave, thank you again for all that you've done to help me.
You're welcome, Mike, and thank you very much for sharing your time with us, and thank you for everything you do. Folks, he can't help you, he said, if he doesn't hear from you. I say he can't help you unless you reelect him. Meet him in Mount Vernon on Thursday or on June 19th, 28 West Church Street in Aurora. If you can help out, contact him, 417-818-5419, or at MikeMoonForMissouri@gmail.com. Go to the website, MikeMoonForMissouri.com, and sign up to help. Just be there. Just be there for Mike, because he was there for you. We'll talk to you next time, Mike. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, buddy. All right, folks. I'm telling you. This is the message, folks. I'm asking everyone in Missouri to get behind this guy with a $10 bill. If you've missed our previous Million Dollar Message shows, the Republican establishment is actively mounting a campaign against this guy. I mean, if you listen to Levin, if you listen to any of the others, you hear about the kind of campaigns that are being mounted at the national level against the guys like Cruz. The same thing is going on in your state. And it's over. It is over their resistance to the very things that you complain about. It's over the resistance of the establishment party, of the establishment of your party, if you're a Republican. If you're one of those Republicans who says, we need to change this party, we need to take this party back, folks, this is the message you need to send right here, because they're on the attack. They're on the attack against you. If you're one of those people, they're on the attack against you with this primary in Lawrence County. So go to MikeMoonForMissouri.com and give this guy a 10. If 100,000 people will give this guy a $10 bill, that will send a message that can't be missed. We are the people, and we are taking over. I've got to take a break. I'm way overdue. I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about state sovereignty once more.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
We're back now. Great visit with Mike Moon. If you if you're just tuning in, and I see some of you are, then please go back, grab the archive of the podcast of this show, and listen to that first hour with Mike. A lot of good information, a lot of opportunities for you folks to get involved in the fight on the front lines. Now, I was having a conversation this week with a fella who was crying about the proposed, in the first place, he was crying that the state legislature had voted to increase our taxes by 0.75 cents for roads and bridges. And he had to be reminded that they had not, in fact, voted to do that. They had voted to let you decide whether or not to spend an extra 0.75 cents to fund roads and bridges, a truly appropriate action by the legislature. It flashed me back to how few people really understand what the government, still after all these months that we've talked about this, is all about. We keep hearing, this fellow didn't even realize that maintaining roads and bridges, he contended that maintaining roads and bridges wasn't even a proper function of government. Of course it is. It's a constitutionally mandated function of government in the state of Missouri. It is, in fact, a constitutionally mandated function of government in the United States Constitution. It's one of the enumerated powers of the U.S. legislature. So, let's flash back one more different kind of style to a time in the past and try to get a handle on what this state sovereignty is all about and thereby get a handle on what the proper function of government is. At one time, there was no United States of America. There was no Constitution. Long before the Articles of Confederation, long before the Federation of States, there were just 13 states. There were, before that, just 13 colonies of the British Empire, 13 separate political subdivisions, each sovereign unto itself, not dependent for anything on the other 12, in fact, somewhat competitive with the other 12, most of them, not most of them, I overstated that, but many of them, competitive to the point that they had grown into their own as a function of people fleeing the oppression of one of the colonies. Roger Williams fled north to escape the religious persecution that Baptists were suffering in Massachusetts. So each state was totally independent, without any reliance on the other 12, and sometimes at odds with one or more of the other 12. And along came the French and Indian War, and along came the troubles brewing with the motherland. And so they found it necessary to form some sort of a confederation. And they adopted the Articles of Confederation as agreement between the 13, kind of a mutual defense treaty, mutual a confederation to keep them somewhat unison, somewhat dependent on one another, but maintaining their own independence to the maximum extent possible was so important that in the Articles of Confederation, the Congress, or the representative body of the 13 states, could not pass any resolution unless it was unanimously decided appropriate by all 13. So there is no way, for example, that that 11 of the states could have got together and said to two of them, you can't have exclusive use of the St. Lawrence waterway, the seaway. We all get to use it. You can't charge us tonnage for using the waterway that passes to the sea, because any one state could say, well, that's not going to be the rule, and it wouldn't be the rule. There's no way that 11 states could have gotten together against two states, or even seven states against six states, and said, we're not going to have slavery anymore, because any one of the others could have said, no, that's not good enough, and it would never have become a rule. Further, because of the fierce independence of the colonies, because of the sovereignty that each enjoyed, because of the lack of ability of the Congress to enforce any kind of uniform code in any particular thing at all, each state had its own rules on slavery, for example. In fact, many, many states had a state religion, even to the point of collecting a tithe for the state church in the form of taxes that were passed through the government to the church, whether you were a member of that church or not. And so, when the Constitutional Convention met in Philadelphia, they knew this was their last hope. They knew that the federal government, that the cooperative of the states, of the 13 states, had to be a little more powerful. Because the Congress of the Confederacy couldn't even force a state to pay its share of the tax, couldn't even force a state to raise its share of the army, we were defaulting on our debts. We weren't going to pay our Revolutionary War debts. It was clear. Because each state was totally sovereign, completely independent, completely free of the will of the other 11 in every way, shape, and form. States were on the verge of armed conflict over borders, over tariff, over things like extradition, over things like escaped slaves. And so they met in Philadelphia. And this is so important. So important. They brought with them the jealous concern for the sovereignty of their states. They did recognize that they needed a stronger cooperative government to care for things like raising an army, paying the debt, i.e. taxation, for things like maintaining the rules on the interstate waterways, and things like extradition, things like borders, things like interstate commerce and mail, tariff, for example, state to state, things like contracting with international bodies, with foreign countries and foreign powers. There needed to be some unanimity among the 13 on things like coining money, the value of a dollar. But they brought with them a jealous and furtive need to protect the sovereignty of their states, and thereby of the individual. Now, you had folks very, very influential who were opposed to the Constitution when it was written. Patrick Henry was one of the most vocal. George Mason, the founder, the philosopher of Article 5 of the Constitution that we celebrate even today, said, this thing is going to get out of hand. Patrick Henry, a chief of the Anti-Federals, said, this thing is going to turn into a monster. They so rigorously believed in the sovereignty of their states that they said any power given to a central body over the states is evil. It is inherently bad, and it will inherently eat us alive. It is inevitable that this thing is going to get bigger than we can control. But the Constitution was accepted after long and rigorous debate between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, eventually by all 13 states, and it became the law of the land. Now, the Constitution recognized, because of the concern for this that the founders brought to the convention, state sovereignty, recognized the sovereignty of the state, and below that, the sovereignty of the people. Because understand something, the Constitution of the United States did not belong directly to the people, but to the states. The states remain sovereign. So you are a citizen first, of the state of Missouri, and then a citizen of the United States through your citizenship in the state of Missouri. How does that work? How do you maintain your sovereignty, the sovereignty of the individual, as a result of, and only as a result of, the sovereignty of the state of Missouri within the cooperative of the 50 states? You write a state constitution. There, you own the constitution. That is a constitution that belongs to you. You can amend it when you choose. You can replace it when you choose. You, the people of the state of Missouri, own that constitution. Your legislature doesn't own it. They can't amend it. The governor doesn't own it. He can't replace it. You own it. You, the people, can amend it. You, the people, can replace it. And that constitution is the just function of government. You hear that term, proper function of government, bandied around as though it were something you just lift out of Webster's dictionary, or as though it were something that was just passed down to us from John Locke, that something that was defined by Socrates or Aristotle or Bastiat, something that Thomas Jefferson invented, the proper function of government. The proper function of government, brothers and sisters, is the government of the state of Missouri defined as you define it. If the Constitution of the state of Missouri doesn't specifically deny it of the government, then the government can, through your representative, do it. If the Constitution of the state of Missouri doesn't specifically demand it of the government, then the government, represented by you, needn't do it. The proper function of government is solely and specifically defined by the Constitution of your state. So if you don't want something to be a proper function of government, deny that to the government in the Constitution. The Constitution is there to protect us from a direct democracy. The Constitution is there to protect us from the representative republic. So that is, when a group of people get together initially and say, we need to band together into a group, we'll call ourselves the state of Missouri, they decide at the outset, above and beyond the democracy, above and beyond the representative republic, there are some things the government cannot do. No matter what the majority thinks, no matter what the democracy says, there are some things the government of Missouri cannot do. And there are some things that the government of Missouri must do, regardless this year, next year, or 10 years from now, of what the majority thinks. Regardless today, tomorrow, or next century, what the representative republic thinks, there are some things that the state of Missouri must do. They must educate children. They must maintain the roads. They must keep the bridges safe. They must patrol the highways. They cannot interfere with free speech. They cannot interfere with your right to bear arms. They cannot illegally search or seize you. These are the things that we define as the specific functions or prohibitions of government, regardless of what the majority thinks on any given day of the week. Regardless of what the representative republic thinks on any given year. So when you say it is or isn't a proper function of government, be prepared to whip out the Constitution of the state of Missouri and say, this is or isn't a proper function of government, because it says so right here. It is not a proper function of government to tell me I can't wear my pistol down the street because it says so right here. It is a proper function of government to educate children in a free and open public school because it says so right here in the Constitution. It is a proper function of government to regulate telephone poles if the majority of representatives so declare, because regulating telephone poles is neither prohibited the government nor mandated the government by the Constitution. And those representatives of us are our voice in what is the proper function of government on any given day inside and outside the Constitution. When I say inside or outside, I mean within the bounds of what they must do and outside the bounds of what they can't do. The proper function of government is defined in the day-to-day business environment by the representatives of the people in Jefferson City. If you think the government shouldn't be doing that, elect a different representative. Or if you think the government can't do that. Now, that being said, there is no higher calling of the sovereign people than the direct vote. And that high calling was highlighted in the state of Missouri by the Hancock Amendment. An amendment to the Constitution that says, while we recognize that it is a legitimate thing for the legislature to ask us for more money for roads and bridges, we demand that they come to us with each and every question and ask us directly. And so this question will appear on your ballot. Now, to each his own. I say no. I say, I already give you, I think the number is 26 million. Hold on one second. $26 million. I say, show me that you can responsibly use the $26 million I already give you. And then we'll talk about more money. I say, what's up with these signs along the side of the highway that remind me that MoDOT cares? You need how much more? I say, the roads and bridges are falling down, but safety concerns aside, you build a cable down the middle of the highway from one end of the state to the other? I say, come talk to me about needing more money when you do something about this competitive wage bargaining type thing. Come talk to me when you can show me a streamlined budget that uses wisely every dime I already give you. But to ask me is a proper function of government. In fact, I demand it. But I demand that you set some priorities first. I don't need to be sitting at the table when you set the priorities. I need a representative at that table. I don't need to be sitting at the table when you decide what has to be cut. I want a representative sitting at that table. And I want that representative accountable to me every 2 years for what he decides while he sits at that table. And when you can't get it right after all that, I own the Constitution. And I want to change it. I want to fix it. I want to get it right. Because this is the state of Missouri. And for my part, I want to be heard. We are the people, and we are taking over. Send $10 to Mike Moon via his website, MikeMoonForMissouri.com. Visit our Facebook page, The Million Dollar Message, Million Dollar Message, and send $10 to Jeff Middlehauser up there in Pettis County as part of your message to the state of Missouri that we are taking over. I'm going to talk to you next time. My throat is getting dry, and I am out of things to say for tonight.
There are so many contradictions. All these messages we send keep asking, how do I get out?